Father, Son, could you guys get the thing there? Because I need strong people to get it. Before we dismiss the kids to go downstairs, I would like to take time to do a little bit of celebration and then have prayer before all of us get going in different directions. I think this last week, Terry, let me know this for sure. Danny, like Dan Rose, you guys keep up with this. I believe this is the first time one of the kids from our church was on ESPN, right? Max Klein pitched a game against the University of Illinois. Pitched in the game. He didn't pitch the whole game. He pitched in the game. One inning, but struck out two guys, right? So it's kind of cool if you have ESPN. If you have ESPN Plus, you can catch his games, okay, which is kind of cool. Before that, actually not long before that, Aaron Roser, his championship game was streaming online, which, again, we complain about Wi-Fi all the time. It's kind of cool when you get to see those kind of things. So that was a good celebration. Let me just get caught up on some things. Emily, what's going on with your niece? Okay. She's had the transplants. Okay, good. Yeah, well, I mean, it is. She's been through a big thing. So continue praying about that, okay? Danny already mentioned Jim. Continue praying for Jim, but let's pray for Bonnie. Honestly, she's put up with him for decades and then had to go through this whole thing. And, man, it got crazy. It got crazy this last week, and we're just thankful. Yeah. I mean, it really got crazy, and so I mean, we are thankful that you guys are here, and just pray that Bonnie can get some rest in. Ray and Barb, it's good to have you back. Devin, when he came in this morning before you guys got here, said my Nana and Papa they're really tan. And I said, well, we know where your roots came from now, like it's become very clear, right? So, good to have you guys back with us. I know there are some prayer needs, not yesterday, Saturday, but a week ago. So this would have just been for me, for my family. 3 years ago is when my dad passed away. So, you get those dates? And they're harder to go through. Like, those are days that are struggles. So, again, one of the privileges I have of being a pastor is I know most of your stories really well. Like, I get to be part of that story and know it in detail. Last week, Deb and I weren't here because we took a trip down south. We have always taken trips down south in Deb's spring break so that she can get to warm weather. And so she marks it, like she marks the mile marker when she starts to see grasses turning green, you know. Southern Illinois, Highway 24, mile marker 122, we started to see a little green. And then it's by states. Kentucky got green grass. Tennessee, when we got to that, all the blooming trees, you know. The apple trees and the pear trees, they were all blooming. And then we got all the way down to Alabama, where they're so far ahead of us, the blooming trees, the blooms have already dropped, and they're just green. It's like midsummer for us down there. But, you know, we got to take this trip. We saw our son, Matt, and we spent some time with him. So do you know this? Like, I don't know if our church knows this, because Matt's been gone for, this September would be 2 years down in Nashville. So when he visits, people will go, hey, are you new to our church? You know, and he'll go, no. So do you know this? Matt's engaged. My son Matt is engaged to Leanne. And Leanne just happens to be here this morning. Wave. This will be our future daughter-in-law, you know, who I've known since I think she was 9 months old. Is that right, Tommy Candy? You started here when Leanne was 9 months old. I think this is the first couple that grew up in our church, met, dated, fell in love, and they're getting married. Like, this is, all these years of work are starting to pay off. So we were with Matt, and guess what he's talking about? Plans for the wedding, right? Leanne's going to graduate from nursing school, and Finally, they're not going to be separated by half of a continent or country or whatever, state, you know, something like that. And so they're talking about those plans. So there's always these celebrations going on. But at the same time, here's the truth. There's always these struggles that are going on. And in a church family, the ebb and flow of that is constant. It's constant. Here's the really great thing. We get to go through those celebrations and struggles with each other. Like, we get to go through those. That is such a huge blessing. So I know today in this room, there are celebrations going on. And there are struggles going on. And we want to pray about both of those. Okay? So you've been standing to sing. I'm going to have you stand again. And I'm wondering, you don't have to say it out loud. In fact, we're not asking you to say it out loud. But in a second, when I ask you to raise your hand, if you raise your hand, it's because there's an incredible celebration going on in your life, and you just want all of us as a church family to be able to celebrate that in this moment and pray with you about that celebration. Or there's a struggle going on, and that struggle is bigger than you can take care of. It's bigger than all of us, and it's something that only God can take care of. Okay? You don't have to say out loud what it is. Wouldn't want you to. But we do want to surround you for the celebration and the struggles. We do. We want to be there for you. So, Leanne, I'll have you put your hand up on the celebration part, okay? Like, she's going to, so you can surround her, all right? Yeah, she is. Yeah, her and Matt are just the most out there kind of people, right? So if you have a celebration or a struggle that's going on in your life right now that's bigger than you, would you put your hand up? Can you put it up? Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead and put it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. All right. You have a struggle or a celebration that's going on. All right. If you don't have your hand up, but you're close to somebody who has, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. So it's kind of like a flag for us. If you don't have your hand up, but you're close to somebody who does, would you just surround them, put your hand on their shoulder? Good. Get your hand on them. And if you can't get close enough to get your hand on them, put your hand on somebody who has their hand on them. Okay? And let's pray. And let's, again, we're asking the God who can to do something that we can't, that's bigger than us. Let's pray. Lord, you are so good to us. Like, you know already. This is what you tell us. You already know what's on our heart even before we would know it. Or when we start to know it, but we can't put it into words. You tell us even at that moment when we can't say it out loud, we can't even put it into words, that your Holy Spirit says it, puts it into words for us. Man, we're thankful we get to move through life with each other. We're thankful that we get to be there in the celebrations and in the struggles. That we get to watch Max Klein, a kid who we've known forever here. We've watched him since he was born, pitch in a baseball game. Like, we get to do that. But we also get to be there with each other during struggles. I pray for those who raise their hand today that they'll know in this moment that they're loved by you and they're loved by us. And as we put our hand on their shoulder, it's not just that touch. It's not that just that connection. That's a lot. But it's even more. It's that we care, that we are praying, and that we know the God who can is aware and is working. And that even though the answer to that may not happen just in this moment, that answer is going to happen. The clouds are going to clear away. The pain that we're going through, that we need to endure, will be worth that. Help these that raise their hand to know that they are loved, they are prayed for, And that we have this faith that the God who can, will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, give them a hug. And then teachers and kids, preschool through junior high, you can head downstairs, okay? Hey, Ron, could you put a basket up here? Could you grab one of the baskets and put it up here? I'm going to forget it if I don't do this now. Again, Jonathan Johansson is headed on a missions trip in a couple months, and this is our opportunity. We already took our regular offering, but this is our opportunity to help Jonathan with his fundraising in that. Pretty much whatever week we stop raising money for Jonathan, we will be raising for Mac. He's got something right away, but it's a really cool thing. Familiar in our church with a young man who was here for a couple years, Joe Garnhart. Remember, Joe came with Mac. Joe called yesterday. I don't know how many of our church knew. He moved out to Seattle working for Google in sales for them. And he called, was so excited, got a promotion, moving back to the Midwest. He'll be back here in a couple weeks, but he'll only be here for a couple months and then moving into the big city suburbs. And he's just so excited. And he said, man, I just can't wait to see my church family again. So anticipate that. Oh, he said, I'm going to send you a picture because you probably won't recognize me. And I said, you know what, Joe? He sent the picture. Same crazy bleach blonde hair, you know, up here, different color here, but now he's got a beard. Okay. He's been in the Northwest a little too long. Let's have prayer. Lord, help us in the next few minutes to get from you and know it's from you. Thank you that we have this ancient text that you have seen fit to preserve so that we could read it, so that we could know it, we could understand it. It could have impact on our lives today. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We've been going through a series called What Does the World Need from Us? You know, between Pastor Steve and myself, one of us tends to be more evangelistic and one of us tends to be more about edification. One of us, Steve, loves like building up believers. Like that is what God has wired into him. What he's wired into me is to be comfortable with people who aren't in a church setting. And I love that. So this particular series that we've been in, although it's different because it's I think modern day evangelism from an Old Testament book, probably from a book I've never looked at as a source of evangelism. That part's been different. This is one of the easier things for me to talk about, and that's reaching out. When I say world, I don't mean that with a negative connotation in any way. I'm not going, well, we're Christians and they're the world. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about people who, when we were singing the songs about Christ earlier, that in your heart, as you were singing that, they were filling up your heart. That's what I mean. There are people who, if they sang that song, they really wouldn't understand it. It wouldn't fill their heart up because they don't understand it. But for you and me, we do. And we just want to share that. That's what it is. We just want to share that with the people around us. So when I say, what does the world need from us? It's not talking about in any put-down kind of way. It's what do those who don't know Christ need from us, those of us who say we're Christ followers? I'm going to give it to you really quick, and then we're going to go into the last week of this. Each chapter, Daniel 1, all the way through Daniel 6, has been highlighted, okay? It's been the primary thing that we've looked at. The first thing we saw in Daniel chapter 1, what the world needs from us, is for us to be healthy. And I want to go through this just briefly. It's to be healthy in every way we possibly can. It's to be relationally healthy, right? It's to be emotionally healthy. It's to be spiritually healthy. It's to be healthy in every way that we possibly can. And then it starts to define what that is. Daniel chapter 2, for us to pray and listen. It sounds so simple, right? As Christians, we're supposed to know all about prayer. But the truth is, when we move into it, it's a different kind of understanding. But it's for us. Here's a great way to wonder if you're healthy, to check and see if you're healthy. Am I comfortable with praying, talking to God, and listening to Him talking back to me? Daniel chapter 3, for us to live out what we say we believe. I cannot highlight this enough. What the world needs from us is for us to live out what we say we believe. It's confusing when we say we have faith in God, that He has a purpose for our life, and that He holds our life in His hand, and then when we go through a struggle, wonder what in the world God's doing. That's a confusing thing for people who don't know Christ. So it's to live out what we say we believe. If we say we love the people around us, it's to love the people around us. If we say we have faith in God, it's to actually live out that we have faith in God. Daniel chapter 4, for us to speak truth in love. Daniel chapter 5, to speak truth clearly. And then I usually don't say right at the beginning of the message what it's going to be about that morning, but I am this morning. Daniel chapter 6, and this is that final piece of the puzzle. It's for us to do right even when someone does wrong. It could even be this, does us wrong. Whew. Some of you in this room right now, you're sitting here going, Tim, I know you're supposed to say those kind of things, and you're the pastor, and I appreciate that, and I respect you for it, but right now, I want to punch you in the face. Because you're in a situation right now where somebody is doing you, not just doing wrong, they're doing you wrong. And it does not feel good. And you might even be saying this, they're doing me wrong and I'm actually doing the right thing here. They're being unloving and I'm trying to be loving to them. There's conflict between us and I'm not saying anything to anybody else about what's going on, but boy, they are yakking it up. So I just want to say from the beginning, this isn't easy. And this is one of the reasons that God put this story in the Bible for us. So let's dive into it, okay? Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, and I'm reading in the New Living Translation. Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. So this is, how many of you are in a job that's administrative? Anybody in here? Administrative job. This is administrative, but at the highest level of a world power. The king in charge decides, this is how I'm going to organize this. This is the best way to do it. So I'm going to put these amount of people in charge, and then I'm going to put three people in charge of them. So here's the leaders, and here's the people who are leaders of leaders. verse 2, the king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Verse 3, Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. And then it says this, because of Daniel's great ability, and I'll come back to that in a second. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Sounds pretty good. Like, Daniel, this is good. Like, it seems like the king's got a plan. He's got all these leaders. Then he's going to have three leaders of those leaders. But then as they begin to function, the king sees something very unique in Daniel. And in his mind, he starts to make this plan. I got these 120. I got these three in charge of the 120. But of the three, one of them is really starting to show that he's got this unbelievable ability in leadership. So in his mind, he's starting to think and he maybe starting to verbalize out loud about Daniel's uniqueness. I said I wanted to come back to that thing because of Daniel's great ability. In the King James Version, it says it a little different. It doesn't say because of Daniel's great ability. It says because of Daniel's, and here's what the King James says, excellent spirit. This is kind of a repeated theme, isn't it? Like as we've gone from Daniel 1 to Daniel 6, we keep seeing the same theme about Daniel coming up. Two things that are consistently said about him. One is about the spirit that he has about him. And then the other, you know, for someone who doesn't know God, even though Daniel kept giving the credit to God, they just know the spirit of the God seems to be in him. He seems to be able to understand things that we can't understand. This is a repeated theme that I want to hit home because this is about being healthy. People will notice your abilities. People will notice your skills. But the thing that impacts people more than anything else is the spirit that you and I walk around with. It's the thing that stands out most. Oh yeah, Tim's a nice guy. Great. Tim's good at this. I'm not sure even what to fill in the blank on that. Talking. He talks a lot. He's good at talking a lot. Kelly said before, she's on the vocal team and making plans for the afternoon, she said before, is it going to be a long message today, Tim? Because we're making lunch plans. And Ken goes, let me answer for you. Tim wasn't here last week. We'll be here for a while. So I'm back to Tim's good at talking a lot. Like, you could say that. You know what I'd really rather people said? There's a spirit about Tim that buoys things, that lifts things, that cares, that brings joy. Like, there's something about him, and it's not so much about his personality as his connection with God, that brings hope in situations. That's what I'd rather be said. It's kind of what's going on here. Like, there's this division, and Daniel seems to stand out, and so it all sounds good until we get to the next verse. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way that Daniel was handling government affairs. They couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. Why do you think the other officials... Why do you think they started to search for things? Whew, yeah, I think I heard that word, Mindy. There's this thing called jealousy that comes on the radar. There were 120 of us, then there were three of us, but King seems to be really listening to Daniel. There's this power play that starts to go on now. Like, it all sounds good up to them. Well, good for Daniel. Wow, it's great that he has this spirit about him, that these skills that are really happening, helping. But all of a sudden, there's this jealousy thing that comes in. But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. Here's why. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. It's a pretty good thing. It's a pretty good list there. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel would be in connection with the rules of his religion. Again, in the King James, it doesn't say rules of religion. It's the laws. And if we're not careful because of the way we would define laws or rules, it's almost like, okay, he's doing that goody-goody two-shoe thing, right? That's not what he's talking about. Here's what they were saying. We've watched him. We tried to find, you know, if he's stealing, you know, from the office, or if he's cheating on time, or you know, if he's doing something. We can't find anything like that in the things that he's doing. In fact, as we followed him, as we tracked him, the only thing we can say is we got to find something about his passion for his God. Like, if we're gonna catch him, the only way we're gonna catch him is in this. This is the angle. The angle is we can only find something wrong in this relationship that he has with God. So here's my question to you. What if? Don't you love playing what if? Oh, yeah. Like, what's this lottery, the lottery number? What's the lottery number? Did somebody win this last one? Because I before I left Tennessee, did somebody win it? How much did they win it for? Okay, just mere $700 million. No big thing. You ever, when you hear that news that okay, nobody won it this weekend. It's four weekends in a row and just kept rolling on. Have you ever played What If I Won the Lottery? You ever play that? It's kind of a fun game for a few minutes. And then you go, I'm not winning the lottery, you know. So let's play What If. What if someone followed you for a week? What if someone followed you for a week looking for flaws in your character? What if someone followed you for a week looking for flaws in your character or to identify consistencies or inconsistencies in your schedule? What if someone followed you for a week for the simple reason to find an angle to accuse you of something? What would it be? That's what happened. Like these other administrators, they sent out their spies, their investigators. You watch Daniel and everything he does, and you come back and tell us what's an area that we can accuse him of something. Like, just reading those verses, they couldn't accuse him of not being responsible, not being loyal, not being faithful, not doing his job. Wouldn't it be great? Like, this is what the world needs. The world needs for Christians to live in such a way that the only way that we can find accusation against a Christian is about them being Christians. Something like this. Man. Here's how we'll get Tim. He loves God too much. That's how we're going to trap him. Like, he gets into God's Word on a daily basis. You want to know how we're going to trap him? Let's get it. Let's set up something that traps him about him getting into God's Word. Let's trap him by, well, we know this. He cares about the people around him. Like, he loves the people. Let's get him about that. That's what they're doing with Daniel. This was their angle. Pick up in verse 6. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, "Long live King Darius." You could tell something's coming when that whole group comes and said, "You know what, let's just all sing this chorus. You're the greatest." That's the setup. My kids were younger. They needed something. They didn't know if I was going to give it to them. Guess what it started off with? It didn't start off with, "Hey, Dad, we need this from you." It didn't. It started off with something like this: "Man, Dad, you're just the greatest." And you know, when they said it, like, inside I went, "Well, doggone it, I am the greatest." Like, it triggers something in us, right? I think you're right. Do you have more that you want to say? "Man, Dad, you're the greatest of the greatest." You know? Like, you should know something's coming. That was more Sarah than Matt. Okay. "Long live the king, Darius. We are all in agreement. We, administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced." Okay, here it's coming. It's coming. "Give orders that the next 30 days any person who prays to anyone, divine or king, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown in the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and the Persians that cannot be revoked." So King Darius, and you just want to say this, he fell for it. King Darius signed the law. This was the trap. Darius thought it was about him, but it really wasn't, was it? It was about Daniel. Remember, it said we can't find anything in his daily life except this passion that he has for God. So here was the deal. Let's make it so that Darius thinks this is about him, but it's not. That's the trap. Verse 10. "But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room. With his windows open toward Jerusalem, he prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God." It may not be our co-workers that do this, but we're sure of this. We say this verse around here all the time. John 10:10, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." When I wake up in the morning, my first thought is this. I know what Satan's plan is today. He wants to steal something from me as a Christian. He wants to kill it. He wants to destroy it. Like every day when I wake up, I know that the enemy is trying to set a trap. Right? I know that. Remember the second part of the verse? John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Somebody tell me, what's the second part of the verse? Because a lot of times we quote that first part and we don't say the second part. Anybody? What's the second part? Say it really loud, Bonnie. If you can, with energy. That abundant. Like, this isn't God saying, hey, I got some bad news for you Christians. Like, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Live with that. And that's not what he's saying. He's telling us the truth about that because the enemy's always trying to set a trap for us. Always trying to put us in a trap, more than anything else, to diminish our impact on the world around us. But Christ comes to give life in its fullness, overflowing. Like the different versions, just try and explain in a way that we'll get it. Christ comes to give life in all His fullness. With every trap, with every setup, with every temptation, there is a moment. And that's what's going on here. Daniel, you got this, you know, you're in this position that's pretty big. You're about to move into an even a bigger position. But a trap's been set for you. And it's about your God, following your God. So what are you going to do? Like, did you get this? So Daniel just went home and went through what he does every day. Opened his windows, prayed in the direction of Jerusalem 3 times. I thought this. He could have just closed the windows and still prayed, right? Just close the windows. Just alter it a little bit. You're still praying? There's this moment. There's this temptation to, okay, I can make all of these things work. I can juggle it all. This is why those who were jealous knew they had Daniel. Because they knew nothing was going to shake him from his relationship with God. Like they'd already seen it. Remember Daniel chapter 1? Got to eat this way, Daniel. No, you know, let me eat this way. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Listen, bow the knee or we're throwing you in the fiery furnace. Like they already know that Daniel's not going to do it. But I wanted to stop here and say, in this moment, there's a temptation for us to cave a little bit. Can I say this right now to some of you who are sitting here? You're going through one of the biggest struggles of your life. You are. And the enemy knows that he is trying to steal. Man, I can hardly say this to some of you because I know it's painful for me to say it to you right now. The enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy you. And it'd be so easy. Like he's just whispering this thing. Just close the shutters. Like you keep praying, but close the shutters. And I'm telling you right now, Christ came to give you life abundantly, overflowing. In this really hard, painful moment, I'm saying, Daniel just kept the shutter. It's not like he was broadcasting this to the world. This is what he did in his relationship to God. And he said, that's not going to change. He opened the windows and he prayed. Pick up in verse 11. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking God's help. What do you think Daniel was praying about that day? Like, it doesn't tell us. What do you think? If you were in Daniel's shoes, what would you be praying about that day? Bunch of things that you've been praying about for a while, yes. Something more than that, though, right? God, I'm going to need your help in this because there's this edict out here. Not supposed to pray to anybody else, but I'm committed to you, so I'm going to pray to you. I don't know where that's going to lead. It could lead to chaos. So I just need your help. I want to stay strong in this moment where I feel like being weak. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. This is such a contrast, isn't it? Like, Daniel is on his knees asking for God's help, and this group of people that are jealous are saying, "We've got him. Like, we've got him." It looks like the trap worked perfectly. So they went straight to the king, reminding him about his law. "Did you not sign a law for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions?" He doesn't understand the trap they set. "Yes," he says. "That decision stands. It's an official law of the Medes and the Persians that cannot be revoked." Then they told the king, "That man Daniel." One of the captives from Judah is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to his God 3 times a day. Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled. Why do you think it says it that way? And he knew. Now he knew what the trap was. He knew what it was. He knew his pride, his arrogance now had put someone that he cares deeply about in jeopardy. Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled, and he tried to think of ways to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. Here's the word that I put: gotcha. But the gotcha isn't about Daniel. The gotcha is where people that are not God followers find themselves in so often. This is why we need to care about people who don't know God, because they get in this gotcha spot a lot. They don't have this guiding force of a God who loves, a God that's eternal in their life. And so they are living the best they can moment by moment. And what they find themselves in is as the waves come in and go out, they find themselves moving back and forth. The gotcha is for the king. Verse 15, "In the evening the men went together to the king and said, 'Your majesty, you know that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no law that the king signs can be changed.'" What was the king doing from the first visit that these guys gave earlier in the day till now? Trying to figure out a way to get out of this. They came back to say, "No, this is a bear trap. Like, when its jaws close, you don't get out." "No law that the king signs can be changed." So at last the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested, thrown in the den of lions. King said to him, these are the parting words to him, "May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue." Listen, you could have closed the windows, but you didn't. And so my hope is that God who you're willing to risk everything for is real and can rescue you. "May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you." Stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. King sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of his nobles so that no one could rescue Daniel. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night fasting. Not what a king usually does, not spending the night fasting. In fact, the king on an evening was supposed to show his wealth, show his success by banqueting day after day. He refused his usual entertainment and couldn't sleep at all that night. This is showing the signs of Daniel, the God follower's impact on somebody else. Here's the word that I have for this is wrestling. Most churches that I would speak in, I would say, "No, I don't know how many of you like wrestling." Okay? And if I ask people to raise their hand, there might be one other person. Here, I'm not going to ask you because there's so many. Last weekend, How many of you did your brackets for the NCAA tournament? I mean, you did some of them. Okay. How many of you could care less about the NCAA tournament? All right. Good. You need to get your hearts right. So you bracket people. I'm just going to go one step further than you. How many know that the NCAA wrestling championships were last weekend? Okay. See, there's a handful. Good. I recorded it because I couldn't watch it because there were too many things to watch at that time. And I finally finished it off a couple days ago. Like Deb will tell you, when I watch sports on TV, I literally think as I'm watching the TV, the people on TV can hear me. Right? And at times it proves true. Like I yell something out and the coach does something about it or the player does something. I get nervous about every event that I'm watching, you know. I'm telling you, when I watch the wrestling championships, I don't know anything that gets me more nervous than that. These guys work for a lifetime to get to this one moment, like this one moment. And so ESPN, man, it sounds like I'm really promoting ESPN this morning in church. Go home and watch them. ESPN did a story on the two guys that made it to the championship, and you got to know their story, and their families are in the stands, and like one mom goes to her son's wrestling match. She's never missed one, and yet she covers her face. She covers up her face like she can't stand watching it. It's 7 minutes of just agony for her. And just a note, her son won. And about the last 16 seconds, when he was leading by so much he couldn't lose, she finally put down and smiled and glowed. But there's this like the wrestling. If you've never wrestled before, you cannot believe how much energy it takes. You can't believe how much it is. And these guys are constant in it. That's the picture that's going on right here. Can I say this to those of us who are Christians? The impact that we want to have on the world is that our life matters to them so much that they have to wrestle. Like something's going, not just about their love for us or relationship with us, but they have to wrestle with this idea of, man, I look at them and they're willing to follow this God that they believe no matter what. Something's got to be going on. What's in their life that's not in my life? What am I missing? I love that it says this about this. The king couldn't go through whatever he normally would go through. He couldn't do what... He just struggled. He couldn't rest. He couldn't sleep. Like he just went through this wrestling match. Verse 19, very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. When's the last time that said about you? You got up early to head out to the lion's den. It sounds so foreign, but some of you know exactly what this means. You know exactly what this means. When he got there, he called out in anguish because he was sure, like, he was sure he wasn't going to get the answer that he wanted. Daniel, servant of the living God. Man, I love that. Don't you love it? Was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions? You know he sent the words out. He sent it out, knowing there was going to be no answer back. Daniel answered, long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me. For I have been found innocent in his sight. And I have not wronged you. The king was overjoyed, ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. I love that artists can they can put in words and poetry or music or painting pictures. Have you ever seen this one? It's a real old one about Daniel and the lion's den. Anybody ever seen this one where the lions have all grouped together? Have you, you look at National Geographic, lions, when they're sleeping, they're overlapping each other. Have you ever seen this one where the lions are all in the den and they're overlapping each other? And in the middle of it is Daniel, like he's on a couch at home. I don't know that that's exactly what happened. Because, you know, if I'm in the lion's den and the lions are leaving me alone, I'm leaving them alone. Right? Daniel's description was this simple thing. I'm alive, but I'm alive because of God. And you know what? This shows you, I wasn't in any way trying to be disloyal to you. This is God showing my innocence to you. So the king pulls him up. Not scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. This is the impact. This is the impact. The world is watching to see when we go through a struggle. Not that we act like we're not in a struggle. Not that. But do we trust God? Like, do we trust Him? Because when we do, like with this, I want to say complete faith, but it almost allows. Do you know that part of faith is doubt, the struggle, the wrestling match of going through that? That's part of faith. But as we honestly struggle with that and move, like hold on to our God and know that He's got this in control as we do, that's what really impacts. That's what really makes somebody go, my goodness, if I was in their shoes, this is what I would do. But they were in their shoes and this is what they did. Verse 24, then the king gave orders to arrest the men who had, and this is what the New Living Translation says, who had maliciously accused Daniel. He had them thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children. Boy, when I read that, boy, as a Christian, my heart just goes, oh. Like, that part should shatter us. Just know that these events were taking place in an ancient world, that this was just a normal thing. Life was not prized like we prize it. This is the way the world works. You sow it, you're going to reap it, right? You plan on tricking the king and having Daniel thrown in, guess what? You set that trap, now the trap's going to come down on you. He had them thrown in the lion's den along with their wives and children. Lions leaped on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. Then King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. For He is the living God and He will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed and His rule will never end. He rescues and saves His people. We're not an amen congregation very often, right? We're not. I want you to get ready to say amen, okay? This is what someone who was not a God follower said about God. I'm going to say it, and then I need to hear you say amen. He rescues and saves His people. Like some of you right now, it's hard. It's hard to muster the energy to say amen even. So remember, this is when those of us who are celebrating or we're not going through that struggle, this is when we carry. Like if that person next to you can barely get out an amen, you get out an extra amen. Okay? Let me go back over where I was. He rescues and saves His people. He performs miraculous signs. Oh boy, that was so weak. Were you ready? Were you waiting for me to get the wonders? Okay. You just stick with me. I'll be the boss of this and you just follow me, okay? He performs miraculous signs. Amen. He performs miraculous signs and wonders. Amen. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens. Amen. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. Amen. And like, are you getting this? This isn't just Daniel. Well, he's the lucky one. He's the special one. Like this, that's not what he's saying here. He's not trying to make us, you know, worship Daniel. He's trying to say, Daniel was a God follower, and guess what? This is what I do for those who follow me. All right, you can stop saying amen. Please don't say amen at the end of every sentence right now. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Can I just point out a couple things? It used the word accused here, but you guys know I start my Bible study in the King James. The word accused, when it says that they maliciously accused Daniel, remember these were the group that were jealous, and jealousy led them to figure out this trap, and so they accused Daniel. This is what they accused him of. This is the only thing they could accuse him of. He's a God follower. I was thinking of in the book of Acts when it says they were first called Christians there. Like we say Christians and we go, that just means we're Christ followers. Do you understand when they first started using the word Christians, it was a derogatory thing? Oh, that's those Christians. Right? And accuse, you know, they're those Christians. You know what that means, those crazy God follower people. The word accused in the Hebrew, or in the vernacular that they were using, not in Hebrew, the word accused there means devour. This is this miraculous thing that God does when He's trying to teach us a significant thing, that He takes the smallest thing and He tries to tell a whole story with this. Do you understand? Their accusation was to devour Daniel. That was what their plan was. It's the best that the world can come up with. We're gonna devour them. And what happened to those who accused? Devoured. This is so big to me. This is like a really, really big thing. We need to do right even when others do wrong. But let me put that word you in it. We need to do right even when others do you wrong. Their plan is to accuse. Remember, that's their plan, is to accuse. And unless they turn to God, that accusation devours them. So he's trying to say, in this one word, he's trying to say, those who accused, devoured. They just wanted you devoured. They get devoured unless they turn their eyes to God. Here's the one word that I'm going to give this. It is the word witness. It's what the whole series has been about. It's what today's about. It's what the last 5 weeks about. Hopefully in our church, it's what every time we get together, it's about. It's building up us as believers so that we can be a witness to the world. What does the world need from us? To be a witness. Here's the idea. The king saw something that he'd never seen before. That's what he saw. The king had never seen this before. He knew he got trapped. He knew Daniel was in trouble. But what he found was God was greater than the trap or the trouble. And that blew his mind. This non-God follower says, here's the real God. Here's the God. You saw, see what he said in there? This is the God that's eternal. Whose plans are always established in earth and heaven. This is the goal for us. The goal for us is to live in such a way that the world around us has no choice but to wrestle with this idea of who God is. and look for answers. And guess when they're looking for answers, who they're going to come to talk about this. They're going to talk about it with us. Maybe not in the beginning, maybe not initially, but eventually, guess what they're going to do? They're going to talk to us about it. And we get to be a witness. Let me end with this. Romans chapter 12, verse 17 to 21, because we haven't read many verses today. I'm going to read some more to you. If someone has done you wrong, do not repay him with wrong. This is when you can say amen again. Except, no, not many of us are probably going to feel like amen in there, right? Try to do what everyone considers to be good. Do everything possible on your part to live in peace with everyone. Never take revenge, my friends, but instead let God's anger do it. Let Him take care of it. For the Scripture says, I will take revenge, I will pay back, says the Lord. Because He's the only one who knows. He's the only one who can. He's the only one who really understands. Instead, as the Scripture said, not if your friend, not if your family, but if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them drink. For by doing this, we will make them burn with shame. Am I trying to set up the shame thing dynamic with my neighbor? No, I'm just trying to do what's right. Then they're going to have a choice. Man, just turn your back on what's clear. Turn your back on God or walk to Him. Do not let evil defeat you. Instead, here in the battle, when evil's attacking you, you don't want to be defeated. Here's the weapon. Conquer evil with good. Let's pray, okay? I know we had prayer earlier, but again, I just want to pray for all of us, but for some of you who are really in the middle of this right now. You may have to take those last verses we read and reread and reread and reread and reread. Evil's attacking. Don't let evil win. Don't let evil defeat you. And here's the weapon. Good. Good. Take good. Take God's good with you. Lord, help us to live our life for You. The world needs so much from us. They need us to be healthy. They need us to live out what we say we believe. They need us to speak truth and love. They need us to live clear lives and speak clear truth. The world needs us to do right even when they do wrong, even when they directly do us wrong. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand. Listen, I saw earlier on the slide camp codes. If you're going to junior high camp or senior high camp, make sure you register. Okay? If anybody has questions about that, let me know. I can't answer a lot of questions, but I can answer questions about camp. Okay? You know, we're coming into springtime, summer. Got a lot ahead of us. Starting next week, we'll go into a brand new series for 3 weeks that leads us up to and through Easter. And then we'll be starting into a series about our mission program. Actually, there's a team meeting for the mission team afterwards today to get that down into concrete form. But I met with them a couple weeks ago, and man, just really, really cool, exciting things coming for us, starting at the end of April and running through May from our mission team. Got a lot ahead of us. Then the summer months are coming. We have our summer series and picnics. I look forward to them. Pastor Paul will be here one Sunday on a day that we're having a picnic. So we'll hear from him. It's just always a blast to have him with us. So there's a lot ahead, you know, a lot of good things ahead to be looking forward to. Let me finish with prayer, okay? Oh, yes. Oh, I missed this. Yes. They went to the emergency room in the middle of the night. They're probably sleeping now. I know a couple people have tried to contact me just to get a follow-up. Evan had a seizure that was enough that they called 911. So let's be praying for Beatrice and for Chris and for Evan today. And when we find out something, we'll let you know. All right? And then the offering basket is up here for Jonathan's missions trip that he's leading. Okay? Let's finish with prayer. Lord, we do want to be reminded about Beatrice and Chris and Evan. They are on our hearts constantly. We pray for protection, for peace, for continued healing for Evan. And then we want to pray for Jonathan preparing for this mission trip. For Mac, who's planning on going to this conference about evangelism. Thank you so much for opening the doors for them and help us to support them with prayer and love and with our finances. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're dismissed.